Brad, always good to chat. How are you?
Good morning, Chris. I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, the passes, you know, being what they have been over the last couple of days, this has actually worked out pretty well. I imagine if you were doing the go-between, you and a lot of other representatives on the east side of the state probably would have been shut down from doing so anyway for the last couple of days with the weather being what it has. So this whole virtual thing is kind of working out, isn't it?
It's working out for me. You know, at least I can tuck my kids into bed at night as well. But yeah, it would have been tough sledding. I've been over the pass many times in difficult weather, and crossing two passes in the middle of winter to get back and forth to session is not something I'm always excited about. But fortunately, I have a local Subaru Outback with good winter tires. So, but fortunately, you're right. I don't have to do that this session.
Yeah, well, it's one of the small silver linings, I guess, in a pandemic-driven year. Brad, let's talk about where the sessions are at, because as I just referenced heading into our time with you today, we're about 2 months in now, so a lot of things have been done, a lot of work still yet to be done, obviously, and we've already seen a few critical deadlines come and go. We're facing more of them here in the near future. So just in general, where is the sessions, where are they at currently?
Well, we have a 105-day consecutive session, and that's required by the state constitution. And we're quite a ways along now, as you mentioned. We just passed, just yesterday, a very critical point in the session where bills needed to pass their fiscal committees or their budget committees in order to advance in the session. And so now that we've passed that key cutoff date, we are now transitioning to Senate floor action. And so I will be transitioning to voting in the full Senate with all my colleagues from the other committees to consider bills that have passed through their committees and potentially to the full Senate for a vote. So I kind of have to make that transition between bills that I'm more familiar with because I serve on those particular committees to bills coming at me from all these other committees. And the House is doing the same thing. So the House committee cutoff was just yesterday, and they'll be considering bills in the full House of Representatives. And then in a couple weeks, the next major cutoff exists, which is bills to pass out of the Senate that originated in the Senate, and for bills to pass out of the House of Representatives that originated there. So we're moving along.
Well, we'll look forward to keeping up with all those maneuvers here in the weeks ahead with you, Brad, and find out just exactly what they entail specifically as far as bills are concerned and other pieces of legislation. Let's talk about some of those right now as they pertain to education. Again, this is something that is always on the forefront for you every session, and this year, no exception. Start by talking about something we first reported on yesterday, which is a swap, if you will, of sort of the school year or pieces of the school year due to the pandemic. This seems like a really great idea, actually, Brad, for what it's worth from my side of things. It seems like a common sense issue, and I'm wondering what kind of traction it's gained. Tell us a little bit more about it first, if you would.
Yeah, so I just basically put out that idea. You know, the state of Washington provides its school districts full flexibility on how they apportion their 180 state-funded school days. So a lot of people think, you know, the state controls the school districts, and we really don't. The state helps fund education across our state. In fact, it's about half of our $54 billion operating budget. But the school districts are separate local government agencies administered by their school superintendents and overseen by their locally elected school boards, and there's 295 of them. And the state has been struggling to get the vaccine rollout and get school employees vaccinated. We obviously can all agree that in-person instruction is the most ideal instruction inside the buildings, but I think school districts have really struggled with that. So my idea was, well, let's try to preserve these what's remaining of our 180 state-funded school days, and I encourage school districts to consider swapping their breaks, which is normally there's a one-week spring break that's coming up, and then the summer break is normally 10 to 12 weeks. And if the school districts consider doing the opposite, which is for this particular year, taking a long, their summer break in the during the springtime, presumably the staff would have an opportunity to be vaccinated, COVID case counts would be way down, and then everybody could resume in-person, in-building instruction for the remainder of the summer. So that was just kind of my idea that I put out there. I've been a big proponent of reimagining the school calendar, and I think that is something the state should consider doing in the long term. And I actually have a bill that would encourage school districts to do that. But in the short term, to address the learning loss and to get a return on the investment from the taxpayer. So like I said, half of the state budget every year is dedicated towards K-12 education. And when you consider the state funding and the local levy dollars combined, not including the federal dollars that are also a source of funds for some school districts, but state and local levy funding, Chris, equates to approximately $15,000 for this school year per student. And so if taxpayers are investing that much money, they don't need all the remote learning, they don't need the halfway sort of in-person instruction that they're getting. I think they need the full opportunities for these students. And I was just kind of presenting it as an idea. It's totally voluntary. There have to be coordination with the union groups and outreach to the community, but it is something that is available to the school districts if they wanted to.
12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us on the program today here on the Coho Morning Show, talking to us every Tuesday during the legislative sessions at this time. And we'll look forward again, Brad, to finding out more information about how this proposal does over the course of the weeks ahead. What are you expecting to happen with it next? I know it's always an anybody's guess kind of game, but what is the next step for this proposal?
Well, I really just put out the idea in a statewide news release, and King 5 TV interviewed me and Cairo Radio yesterday morning. So there is a lot of interest, I think particularly so in Western Washington, because they're almost entirely remote. Whereas, you know, in North Central Washington, there's a combination of in-person and remote. But even the in-person is not at all what, you know, students would receive under full operations. So it's kind of just an idea that I put out there. Now, the separate piece of legislation, Senate Bill 5147, passed the Senate Education Committee related to incentivizing school districts to reform their school calendars. And that bill did get approved yesterday in the Senate Ways and Means Committee. So it cleared that fiscal committee cutoff that we talked about. And I'm really excited. The bill actually got broadened a little bit and has six different sections in it related to addressing student learning stabilization, recovery, and what we're calling acceleration. So we're really trying to focus this bill now on what are the things that school districts need in the short term, but also some opportunities for reforms in the longer term that can help address some of the, unfortunately, what will be massive learning loss across our K-12 system due to the COVID pandemic. So if we have time, I could talk about a couple aspects of that bill, or we can cover it on a future interview. But it is moving through the process, and I do think it will benefit school districts statewide.
Yeah, well, Brad, we do have a little bit of time. So if you want to detail some of what's going on with that, feel free, please.
Yeah, so that bill, it retains the balanced school calendar piece, which is a pilot program for up to 20 school districts, not the full 295 that we have. But if 20 school districts want to pilot reforming their calendar on a purely voluntary basis, they'd have a little bit of financial incentive to do so. So it's purely voluntary. But the other things we do in the bill, and I partnered with the chair of the Senate Education Committee to make these changes, but we'd be proposing three additional school days for this next school year for students to kind of get prepared to start, you know, regain their academic progress. Each school day across the state is about $100 million when we fund that statewide. So this is a significant addition for going from 180 state-funded school days next year to potentially 183. We also, in the bill, offer what we're calling a summer re-engagement program, where the superintendent of public instruction could partner with school districts for 1 week in the summer prior to the school year for students to come back to their schools. There would be supervised staff there for physical activity, either on the playground or the open gym. The cafeterias would be open. The library would be staffed. There'd be an opportunity for both learning activities, physical activities, and social interaction for students for a full week prior to the start of the school year, because you can't just flip a switch on these kids and go from a year of basically remote learning to thrusting them back into the classroom. I'm not sure they're socially and emotionally prepared to learn, and let alone academically. And then the bill has a couple other provisions. So we're trying to put this whole package together, make it totally optional for schools, but try to support them for next school year, in the summer prior to next school year, but then also potential changes that they could adopt in the long term to help them address the learning loss, because the learning loss, Chris, will be significant for most of these kids all throughout the remainder of their K-12 experience and potentially into college. So it's been a tough year with COVID, and I hope that we can start pulling out of it.
Yeah, for sure, Brad. We're all hoping that we can begin to make our way out of the pandemic. I think we are more and more a little bit every day. It's sort of the wiggle effect, I guess, if you will. You know, the worm trying to wiggle off the hook. Just have to continue to, you know, not let our guard down, I guess, as far as just public safety is concerned, that side of it, and not fall completely back on the vaccination efforts that are happening right now. Brad, to close out here, since I do have a second here, I'd kind of love to go back to something that you've said a number of different times over the course of this, again, a very unprecedented session, which is the fact that you're home, like so many other legislators are during the sessions, and you get an opportunity to be with your family, tuck your kids in at night, I think, as you said specifically today and have referenced a few other times. And, you know, this is sort of an obscure question, I guess, and it might be too early to tell, because the returns may, you know, need to be reflected upon after the session is done entirely. But I'm wondering if this whole COVID thing, and a lot of different representatives, different senators, et cetera, like yourself, who do get a chance to be at home. I mean, obviously, the work that you do in Olympia, where you're face to face and you can have these conversations in the hallway, you know, all these sorts of things, that's gone for this session. And so what happens with those that's positive, unfortunately, is not happening. But I'm wondering, do you think that because legislators get an opportunity to kind of be at ease at home, what's going on, just everything, that it's maybe changing the way they're voting in some ways, or they're changing the way that they're drafting policy? Again, I know that might seem far-fetched, but, you know, is the pandemic maybe having a literal effect on some of what we're seeing actually drafted and voted upon in the Senate and House this year, do you think?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, especially as we now enter the phase where we're beginning to develop the three state budgets. But I do suspect that actually the larger scale packages, whether it's for greenhouse gas emissions or a large scale transportation package or some of the stickier budget issues, will actually be much more difficult to do remotely, because so much of that is, you know, we've relied upon, you know, conversations in the hallway with our colleagues and face-to-face interactions. So that'll be interesting. But, you know, even looking past the legislature, I think the pandemic is going to change a lot of things across the world. Obviously, remote work has caught on. I think we're going to see more and more of that. Hopefully, we're going to see less traffic congestion, too, as a result of that. And a lot of my colleagues in Seattle are pointing out that a lot of their brick-and-mortar facilities, you know, the large-scale office high-rises and other things in Seattle, there's going to be some vacancies there. And just how that changes the economy and changes the dynamic of things. And obviously remote schooling. A lot of the kids are accustomed to this. Teachers are doing that. We're going to see more of that throughout our K-12 system and higher education. So no doubt the pandemic, whether it's the legislature or the state of Washington or worldwide, is going to definitely bring some changes, potentially long-lasting changes in how we do things in our country. So it is interesting when you think about it.
Yeah, for sure. And I do a lot of thinking, because I do anyway, but especially during the pandemic, I guess, because we're all supposed to be sort of having a little extra time on our hands here to be thinking about a lot of different things. We have a chat with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins on the program here on the Coho Morning Show. That is every single Tuesday, and that's right on through the end of the legislative sessions for 2021. And Brad, I appreciate the time today. Stay safe and healthy, and we'll get a chance to talk to you again next week.
Likewise, Chris. Look forward to it. Thanks so much.